Good morning. I'm Matt with Schematical, and with me as always is Dominic DeMarco.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Happy CTO coffee hour, which is really bad, Dr. Pepper.
Oh, I'm running on straight espresso today, so.
Straight espresso from Italy. So wonderful. So first up, I got to say thank you to Ben, CTO of Custom Offsets again, for filming an amazing testimonial video that like literally made me tear up a bit when he was recording it. If you haven't seen it, you should check it out. Ben's worked with me since I believe 2016. And they started out pretty small and now they have a warehouse 4 football fields long, which is quite fantastic. I've been there a couple times now.
And it looks like a couple football fields tall as well. I mean, it's not, but just based upon the height of those racks in the video, it's pretty, cubic feet is more impressive than even the square feet.
It's massive. It's massive. And they've got these cool little automated doohickeys that'll zip around on the floor and they're all guide by wire. So you're not like steering them and crashing and they know the order. They know where you got to go. They have a human being that's clipped into them and they raise it up a couple stories tall, bit taller than my house. And they go and pluck these things, these tires off the wall and everything. It's just fantastic the way they've done that automation and everything. It blows my mind. So, and they're crushing it right now. So that was really
cool.
So
it goes to somebody can do e-commerce that is not sourcing or doing anything on Amazon or Shopify.
Yeah. I mean,
they're 100% standalone. They've got their own infrastructure. They got their own distribution. They've got their own websites. They're not beholden to any of these platforms.
That is correct. Yeah. They don't have any Amazon fulfillment, anything like that. They do all their own stuff. They do work with wholesalers around the country to speed up the process, but that's their own infrastructure. It's not like an Amazon shipment center or anything like that. They really do a good job with the wholesalers and coordinating with them. So if you get like a small, tire wheel shop, they've got some pretty cool, ways to interact with you. Hand-built all their own infrastructure. I mean, it's a custom-built search engine for wheels and tires and all that stuff. I mean, it is built on AWS, but again, Amazon orders aren't touched by Amazon or anything like that as far as, like, the fulfillment. So, and they built it from scratch, from a garage.
Literally.
Yep. So they found a brilliant niche, and they solved the need for that niche and did it masterfully. And Ben's focus on like what really matters is incredible. I know some engineers that would stress over every some completely irrelevant engineering decisions, and Ben's like, no, we're just going to focus on, does it matter for the business? Is it going to make the customer happier? Is it going to get them to be set with a product they're happy about faster? All right, let's focus on that. The rest is just noise. And his ability to do that and focus is just incredible.
Yeah. I mean, they've been doing this, over 10 years now. So there's been plenty of noise, plenty of shiny objects that could have been chased along the way, but I keep on looking over here because the warehouse screen is running on my video over here and it's absolutely massive, but there's plenty of things they could have chased. But even, you talk about the technology and the robots or whatnot they're using in their fulfillment center. So it sounds like even the technology they applied was optimizing the experience to get things to the customer as quickly and efficiently and as cheaply as possible over time.
Yeah, logistics. It goes back to that quote, which is, I don't know who was the original that said it, but amateurs focus on strategy, winners professionals focus on logistics. And I'm sure I butchered that quote, but you get the idea. They've invested a lot in logistics to make sure that they can please the customer faster. Like, anybody can whip up a website, but then there's all that goes behind it. And then scaling that website is definitely complicated. That's more within my wheelhouse, but like just the brilliance of getting the manufactured good then getting it from point A to point B. Like they gave me a whole tour of the manufacturing process. I don't know how much I'm allowed to talk about that, but, or I guess not the manufacturing process, but the distribution process, but they have it down to a science. I'm not going to give away any secrets here, but they have it. They really have that focused, and they can move, and they can do custom work too. They do, they build custom exhausts for one of their sub brands. And, and that's just like the way that system goes. It's such a well-oiled machine. So
interesting. Having rigged a couple exhaust systems on cars during my youth, it'd be interesting to see what sort of, robotics are building their exhaust systems. And that's just an assumption, because otherwise, yeah, how do you get all those bends just right?
there is no complex robotics, no. Yeah, that's at least not to my eyes. Again, I hope I'm not giving away too much, but it's a focus on the simple and what really matters there, you know? So either way, it's a pleasure working with them. I love working with them. They get, you know, good team, got a lot of great culture. I keep telling Ben he should write a book on how he created the culture specifically for the dev team. I mean, you guys got some of the marketing guys in there too, but I like the culture they've got and that little crew. It's like their lives, and they enjoy it. It's not like there's no problem with work-life balance. Like, they really have a phenomenal culture. That's not some type of, what's the word I'm looking for? Toxic hustle culture.
Well, and it also doesn't sound like it's just a corporate-y words culture, which is, you know, so many people will point to the quote that's painted on the wall and say that's our culture, and it's complete crap.
Yes, you're correct. I don't see any of that stuff on there. What they have, though, which is brilliant, is they sell, you know, fancy wheels, right? The furniture is made for fancy wheels, like the walls, like the decor is actually like these fancy wheels. If you go in the main conference room underneath the table, it's held up by these probably monster truck wheels, without the tires attached to them. So it's they immerse themselves in this, and they hire enthusiasts, you know, people that you go to the parking lot, you want to see some nice vehicles, okay, some souped up trucks, okay. The people that are working there are as excited about the product as the next person. I was messing with one of their guys and generated some AI vehicles, and I was like, figure out which one's AI, and they're the people who are sitting in the meeting like immediately called the AI one, because they're like, there's no way that this would go with that, with this, like they just they are so ingrained in it that
they are the customer.
Yeah, and if I would have showed you that, you couldn't have guessed which one was AI or not. It's not like it had an extra finger or something. It's a
And here you have a completely stock truck sitting in your garage. We're gonna have to do something about that.
I know. if anybody at Enthusiast Enterprises is listening, you got a DECT system. I could use that. So a DECT system, it's for your truck bed. It like puts drawers in your truck, so you can still mount stuff on top of it, but it takes up like the bottom, just say, foot of the bed, and you've got this drawer system you can pull out and stuff, and it's very secure, so not bad. So well, again, thank you to everybody at Enthusiast Enterprises or Custom Offset, and Ben for, you know, let me be part of the team. I honestly, it's an honor. So I'm gonna get misty eyed, so I'm gonna move on to the next topic here.
Gary, I say the topic that we planned to discuss before this video came out yesterday, but we've got another interesting one. We got a nice segue over through Amazon.
Yeah, no, I got a couple interesting things, but yeah, Amazon is suing Perplexity, so it's kind of the battle of the big tech, which isn't that uncommon these days. I think Apple just won something over on Google too. I don't remember the details of that one, but I think they're going to get paid decently. But either way, this one relates to all the tool call MCP type stuff I was talking about. So Perplexity's got its own browser. Seems to be the trend. Everybody's slapping AI in a browser, just like ChatGPT. And then you can go and browse Amazon, or more specifically, have your AI agent browse Amazon on your behalf. And as I said before in my presentations, that's going to be an issue for anybody that's selling ads. So Amazon's saying, hey, you're just using our site wrong. They're claiming, you know, you're not handling user data right, et cetera, et cetera. But what I believe, and I think I'm not the only one, is that Amazon is afraid of losing the margins on their advertising business. Their advertising business, I think that said someone said that has like 50% revenue was one of the estimates I've seen recently. 50% net, profit, I should say. And that's way bigger than their product selling business. So if it's like we're just talking about, you sell a product, especially if it's a heavily commoditized product, like toothpaste or something like that, very price sensitive, your margins are razor thin. And so they don't make a ton off of just selling regular products.
Well, I mean, there's several ways you can look at how they make money, because not only do they make money by selling their own products, but where they have good margin, the Amazon basics, be it notepads, right? Mm-hmm. You've got the margins of people that are selling in advertising. So all of the people that are selling toothpaste because they found it down at the discount center, they're selling Colgate. Well, they're advertising to be on there as well. And then on top of it, there's the ordering sorting algorithm. And as much as we would love to be naive and say, no, they just sort based upon the best product, we know that their self-interests are also in how they sort products and return them to you. And all of those things kind of get blasted by Perplexity going through there and saying, here's what we think makes sense for you.
Yeah, exactly. Like they say that if you want to hide something, just put it on the second page of Google, because no one clicks, through. Same thing is pretty much for Amazon search. So it's at least has a significantly smaller chance of being seen there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a pretty well-known fact that AWS has way better margins than their physical goods business. And so with the paid or promoted products, they guaranteed revenue right there. Even if you don't buy it, they still get paid for displaying it to you.
And yes, I've spent money on this game and received very little results from it in past experiments. So just because you have a banger product and it's on Amazon, if you don't play according to their rules and their sandbox, you will not get traction. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and this is going to be interesting, because I don't know if they're going to be able to stop these browsers from doing this. What are you going to do? Release your own browser, and then that's the only way people can view your stuff? Release your own app? So I don't know if it's a winning battle there. They are launching Rufus, or have launched Rufus, but it's not in its full splendor yet, I guess. And that is their kind of chatbot to guide you to buying products. That's what they...
Are they? I mean, they have to be coming out with their full browser, and an AI browser. A browser alone it contains a lot of sensitive information. A lot of things pass your screen. Let's say whether it's bank accounts, credit cards, PII, other things like that. But when you start talking AI browsers, how much? And this is probably an entirely different topic for a different day. How much of that information that passes through the keyboard and the screen is simultaneously sucked up by an LLM somewhere for training or something else? And we don't know the answer to that, but there's got to be a lot.
We don't. What we do know is that the information is leaving. Every character you type it is leaving your computer and going off to some supercomputer data center somewhere. And in there, at some point, it hits an LLM, which then decides to do a tool call or respond to you with text or whatever it is. But before and after that, yeah, they could easily be scraping that for training data. In all likelihood, they are. I mean, if nothing else, you'd be recording it and logging it in case somebody was sending something malicious. You'd want to know if someone was, instructing the LLM to destroy something or look up inappropriate materials or legal illicit type stuff. You'd log that, so then you can, in a court of law, you could say, hey, this is the problem. So I mean, all that information is likely getting logged. I don't know how you would. I mean, the best thing you could do is try and put something in the browser that says, don't send me credit card numbers or anything of that nature, because you wouldn't really want the LLM to get the credit card number. What it should do is do a tool call to the browser, and then the browser says, I'm gonna input the credit card number, assuming the user approves it or something like that. With that said, I don't have that much faith in these companies, especially being the rate they're vibe coding these tools out. you know, and the kind of power hungry nature of these big tech guys, they're almost certainly grabbing more than you'd like them to. So, and you're probably going to ask me, Matt, have you used one of these browsers? It's like, yes, but not putting a credit card number in it, haven't logged into anything with it, but I've asked it to do things like scrape this, scrape that, and give me that.
I'd so it's pretty generic. If you could use, you know, if I'm sure probably all of its communication is going through HTTPS, so you couldn't see it. But if you could decode what was going on behind the scenes using Wireshark or something, I'm curious if somebody's done that, or rather, has somebody published what they've done with that yet? Because somebody's probably done some forensics on the payloads coming and going from their machine through that browser.
I would wager some of the hardcore hacker, you know, elite security guys have done some of that work. I wonder if David Bombay, he's a pretty interesting guy I follow, if he's done any work on that yet. I haven't. And I do love using Wireshark to track things down. Mm. It is actually kind of fun. But that would be interesting. They're definitely sending out, you know, everything you're chatting with it about. They're sending out scrapes of your web page. So what they do most of the time, they don't send over like every letter of HTML you got. What they do is they've come up with clever ways to kind of take browser screenshots and condense that down to the information the LLM needs, which is good. That makes it more effective there. But I would not doubt that they're sending more than they should, basically. You know, and that's
gonna be interesting. I just ran a Google search, and there's plenty of results that I could look at after this. And maybe this is a conversation in and of itself.
It could be. Yeah, absolutely. But back to the central theme, though. Yeah, Perplexity. Yeah, Perplexity is definitely doing quite a bit. And I guess even worse, Chrome does it already, but Chrome, you know, uses your clicks and things like that as analytics and sends that data back. So that way they have a lot of information to which to rank search pages, and, you know, they know human behavior quite a bit. So, I mean, I wouldn't imagine Perplexity or anybody else is above that.
Well, and it's built on the same Chromium tool set as Chrome is as well. So, I mean, they're remarkably similar in their infrastructure. They're just deviously different insofar as what they're doing right now.
Yeah. I mean, so is Brave. So is like everything right now. I can't.
Everything but Microsoft.
No, Microsoft Chrome is Edge is based on Chromium. They ditched Internet Explorer engine for Edge. And I believe Edge is based on Chromium. The only one that I know of off the top of my head is Firefox. Firefox got its own underlying engine, but even Brave, I believe, is Chromium under the hood. So, I mean, it's in some ways the Chrome plugins and extensions, it's brilliant, you know. But all the stuff Google sticks in there is concerning. Do I use Chrome? Yes. Do I use Chrome for everything? Hell no. There's a lot of things I won't put into Chrome, but when I'm on LinkedIn, which, you know, I don't care if, you know, if it sees that stuff, there's nothing in there. If I'm on, you know, if I'm logged in AWS, most like, what are you going to steal my AWS stuff? It's pretty good with credentials, but it's not like it's stalking me. But, you know, when I'm consuming, you know, information of a personal nature, anything like that, that isn't like commercial, well, I'd prefer not to be using something that's clearly sending my information back. But in all reality, I don't know if there's a way to get around the spy state these days.
No, I was just thinking, like, you can avoid everything, or you can, I mean, on one end, avoid everything. On the other end, you know, take your social security number and paint it on the wall outside your house. There's a happy medium in there somewhere that I think most people fall into. And what's the right way to say it? Most people don't have the time, nor energy, nor wherewithal to even bother. And I'll admit that I fall into that camp more times than not. Okay, I'm going to use Chrome. I'm going to use the same tools and, you know, hope that there is not something that's too terribly nefarious happening with that.
Yeah, absolutely. You could just go, you know, unplug everything, go live in a shack in Alaska. But, you know, what are you going to miss out on? You know, how many birthdays and things of that nature? So either way, that's the news today is the agentic shopping stuff I was been yammering about for however long is come to fruition, and now they're kind of battling it out. We'll see where it goes.
It'll be a lot of two steps forward, one step back, a lot of legal wranglings, a lot of decisions made well beyond the view of us common folk.
Yeah, I would be curious if anybody wants to comment. I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on it. Are you in favor of AI, agentic AI browsers? Are you against it? Do you share the privacy concerns we have? Are we ludicrous for even imagining using them? So let me know in the comments. Aside from that, if you're interested in actually wiring in any of these agentic AI endpoints, like an MCP server or something like that, that's something we're interested in. We run schematical.com/community. We've got a group coaching community there, and we consult on this stuff. We primarily are focused on scaling up on AWS and making sure you're secure and you're cost effective in your server infrastructure. But at the same time, with all this interesting new technology out there, we're always interested in helping us that you scale with that. Actually, I was playing around with serverless Bedrock inferences just yesterday, and my gosh, I'm trying to wrap this up, but my God, they figured that one out. They did it really well. You don't have to provision anything. You just make the call, and it just works. And they've got a model that's serverless and just goes. So it's not like you're running something in the background. They just charge you per inference, per request. So I had an LLM making tool calls 20 minutes. I thought I was going
to great things to talk about a week from now.
I know. I should stop. All right. But yeah. So that's it for this week. I'm Matt with Schematical, and have a Cloud War Games. Have a great week.
See y'all. Ciao.